The Lord has given us a beautiful day, a wonderful day as we will celebrate our pastor's 50th anniversary as being pastor of this church, and his 80th birthday as well, and all that remembering and thankful for our pastor. Remember, he has a wonderful helpmeet that helped him to do it all these years. And so make sure you congratulate Miss Linda as well. And I'm looking forward to the morning service. I kind of want to rush through Sunday school, but I don't. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope we'll see a lot of people, and definitely give honor to whom honor is due. And he is our spiritual father, and we praise the Lord for the Lord allowing us to have Pastor Lawson to guide and direct us. And so let's continue to pray for him, ask the Lord to bless his soul this morning, his and Miss Linda's soul, and that he would be encouraged today. How many of you want to encourage your pastor? And we need more preachers like him. And so let's ask the Lord to please continue to help him. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and let's ask the Lord to speak to us and help us. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. Lord, that name that is above every name. Father, the only reason we can stand here this morning knowing that we have a home in heaven is because of the finished work of your Son. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us in the Sunday school hour. Father, as we read your word, as we discuss things concerning the home, Father, please continue to guide and direct us. Please continue to help us, encourage us, chastise us where we need chastisement, correct us where we need correcting. But Father, we leave that to you and the Holy Spirit. Father, I just pray now that you would use your word this morning to help us to see what we need to see in our homes and what we need to see in our lives. Father, I think of the youth of this church. Lord, the future leaders of this church, should you tarry your coming, Father, we want them to be the best Christians they can be. We want them to be faithful ministers, faithful stewards. Lord, we want a hedge protection around our children, our grandchildren. Father, that you would allow another generation to rise up that knows you, that loves you, that serves you. And Father, you have given us the ability to have an influence on this next generation. Father, help us to do our part, whether we be great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, or even children ourselves. Father, we just pray that you would help us to take your word, not only listen to it, but Father, apply it to our lives. And Father, that we would give you honor and glory in all things that are done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning we'll be in the book of Proverbs, as we have been. But this morning, with the Lord's help, I'm going to be concentrating more on teaching your child as far as the communication part. The communication part is very, very important. If you have a cell phone, would you take it out and raise it up? First, you want to make sure it's muted. I have forgotten to mute my telephone while I was in the pulpit and been embarrassed a few times. But you got this cell phone out. You still have your cell phone? I want you to know this is one of the greatest destroyers of communication in the family. You say, Brother John, that's built for communication. I understand that. But this has also robbed families from communication. And whether it be at the dinner table, sometimes we catch ourselves looking at our phones during dinner. Yeah, I'm guilty too. But it also inhibits us from communicating, looking someone in the eye, and seeing their responses to be able to communicate well with them. And I'm thankful for phones. I'm thankful for technology. Again, there's good and bad to everything. But when we're talking about our home, our children are precious gifts from God. And he likens them unto arrows that we are to shoot out into the world, to be useful in the hands of the one that's shooting them out. And of course, we want them to be useful in the hands of the Lord. And so let's remember that if we will. But in order to teach our children, we must communicate with them. And communicating is not always a one-way thing. Now, a good example is here in Sunday school. Yes, you're giving some response, but mainly I'm speaking. And, you know, when we're instructing, that's okay, but do allow for communication to come back. Do allow for questions to be asked. And a lot of times, you know, I heard a saying when I was growing up from certain family members, children are to be seen and not heard. How many of you ever heard that? Okay, a lot of you. And so obviously, you know, there's some things to that. Now, children should not run the conversation, continually, but we do need to let them speak. And we do need to listen to them. God gave us two ears as well as he gave them two ears. And it's funny, we have two ears and one mouth, and yet some people think you have double mouths or something, but we need to be careful. We want to invest in our children and spend time talking to them. If you can relate to this, maybe, that, you know, a lot of times children get in trouble, and it gets to a place where it seems like there's no hope, and you're saying, well, why didn't you tell me? You could have told me this earlier, and we could have avoided a lot of things. Well, were you willing to listen? And that's just something we have to answer for ourselves. I don't know your situation. You don't know my situation. But I do know there was times that I was too busy to listen. There were times that I didn't want to listen. And so we need to be very careful about that. And again, we want to encourage our children to know that they can come to us with anything, and I do mean anything. Your child needs to know that they can come to you no matter how bad something is or no matter how horrible it may seem. Let your child trust you. Let your child know that they can come to you. We must spend time with them. In this day and age that we live, families are so busy, especially families that are tied into school programs, sport programs, whatever the case may be. I promise you, God is not behind all these programs. I do know one who is behind it, and it's to destroy the nuclear family. Remember, it's Satan's goal to destroy the nuclear family. He hates everything that God has created and designed. And he perverts everything that God has created and designed. And it's up to us whether we let him do that or not. And so, you know, if you're making time for things that are important, make sure you make time for God. Make sure you make time for your children. If we are going to win their hearts, we have to invest time and energy in them. It's one thing to say I love you. It's another thing to show that I love you. Did Jesus demonstrate his love? Absolutely. He stretched out his arms and died, did he not? And that wasn't, you know, just the one point of it. He did it all by obeying the Father, becoming our sacrificial lamb, and doing all that so that we could have eternal life through him if we would just believe on him and ask him to be our Savior. And so if we think about this, I will say this. If you are too busy for your children, you are too busy. The same thing applies to God. If you're too busy for God, you are too busy. And knowing that these are an heritage from the Lord that God has entrusted us with, we need to be very careful how we raise our children, how we treat our children. How many of you have read about the millstones that are there in the New Testament that Jesus talked about those who were offended? I believe he was referring to children, being offended. And he just said the offender, it were better for him that a millstone was tied about his neck and he was cast into the sea. God takes it very serious how we treat his children. And so moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, let's be very, very careful about that. Would you turn for me to Proverbs chapter 1? By the way, the book of Proverbs is full of all kinds of wisdoms that you can use to train your child, to teach your child, and not only at, you know, a toddler time, but even as they progress to get older. And what we call, how many of you realize there's teenagers not mentioned in the Bible? Anybody notice that? Nobody's noticed that? Come on now. Teenager is not in the Bible. You're either a child or you're a man. You're a child or you're a grown up. And think about that. Now, we have terms that we use. There's nothing wrong with calling teenagers. I pick on teenagers quite often. I enjoy it to try to encourage them, to let them know I care about them. And I do it all in fun, trying to build a relationship with them. I don't put them down, but I just try to joke with them and just to get their hearts and minds to open up because I want to help them. I want to be a blessing to them. And I know Lucas has the same desire, so pray for Lucas as he leads our youth, as he continues to prepare their hearts. But here in Proverbs chapter 1, if you're there, let me know by saying amen. Here is the teaching of Solomon to a son. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, can this be applied to a toddler? Sure it can. It can be applied to any age, even a father who has adult children. We could use this to encourage them, to warn them, to help them. But wait a minute, I thought we were all sinners. Who's not a sinner here this morning? Raise your hand. All right, I want to see who's lying in church. But when you think about this, we are all sinners. I understand that, but then you're either a lost sinner or you're a sinner saved by grace. But when he's talking here, he is talking about those who habitually practice sin, those who live in sin. Our children, we are to admonish our children, no matter what the age is, if they entice you, in other words, if they try to get you to join their ranks, consent thou not. Do you know biblical separation is still valid today? Whether we teach it or not, it's still in God's word that we are to separate ourselves from the world. And we need to help our children to separate themselves from the world, because the world is very proactive in trying to pervert our children. The world is very proactive in trying to get our children to deny God, to deny the authority of parents, to deny the authority of police, and any other authority there may be other than what Satan wants. And the world belongs to Satan, by the way. He is the god of this world, the little g. And I'm glad we serve the big G, the Almighty. But here it is. He tells them, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for what? For blood. Is that good? No, they're wanting to do people physical harm. When you think about that, even on into death, as we get into the lesson here. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. They'll say there's safety in numbers, and that's true. There's also trouble in numbers. I want you to understand that. People get caught up in movements. People get caught up in the moment. They see something take place. Their feelings get stirred up, and they have, you know, feelings that are in agreement with those that are rebelling, and if you're not careful, you get right in the middle of that, and the next thing you know, you're doing things that you never should have done, or your child will be doing things they never should have done, never meant to do, didn't even have it in their mind when they first started. But because they see others doing it, it emboldens them. It makes them think, well, if they're doing it, it's okay for me to do it. We must also instill in our children that they too will give an account to God. And that whatever they choose to do will affect them. Some things for the rest of their life. How many of you have things in your life you wish you could take back? Things that you wish you had never done. It's too late, isn't it? And that's why I want to make sure our children, as much as possible, I want to prepare our children, don't do that so you don't have regrets. But here we're talking about people that want to do others harm. We're talking about people maybe in what we would consider to be teenage years or older, where they are going with others who intent is to hurt others, to steal from others. Is God against those things? Hurting people, shedding innocent blood, you know, robbery, doing what you can. And you think about it, they're talking about how they're going to share it all. They're going to share it all. Well, I guarantee you when the police come around to get those that have done these things, that they're going to leave you high and dry and hope you're the one that gets caught and not them. And so please don't fall for Satan's tricks. Let's teach our children, don't fall for Satan's tricks. Satan would have you to think that you can get away with it because they did it, you can do it. He says in verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Then he says this, refrain thy foot from their path. Now, there are many pathways in life, are there not? But if we are following the Savior, if we are walking in his footsteps, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is that not what the psalmist said? When we talk about that, if you were following Jesus, what's the chances of you getting on the wrong path? If you were following right behind him and you're allowing the Lord to guide your way, are you going to get on the wrong path? The answer is no. And we understand that, but do we always choose the right path? And again, this is all coming about to experience in our lives, regrets in our lives, trying to instill in them, listen, you don't want to do this. Admit to them, look, I did these things, whatever they may be. Try not to give Satan glory. You know, I did these things, but I'm telling you, don't do it. I have a lot of regret. I have a lot of things that I wish I could take back, and I cannot. Because once it's out, it's like spilt water. Once you spill the water, you're not getting it back. And so let's just try to instill in our children how that they are not to yoke up with the wicked, how that they are not to look to harm others, rob others, shed blood of others. And so keep that in mind. But here, a father or mother that cares about their child is going to love them enough to tell them things that they may not want to hear. But again, let's do it in the right spirit. Let's do it with the right attitude and with the right approach. So when we think about this, here God is giving us the example of a father to his son. It says in verse 16, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Now, I don't know how much you're keeping up with in the world situation today with this mother that killed her three children, others that have killed their children, and now they want to blame it on something that affects, you know, women who have given birth, postpartum. I understand that, but still, if you murder somebody, you murdered somebody. Okay? Yes, this may have caused it, but the thing is, the action still took place. And there are consequences to actions. And we need to instill that in our children. But isn't it amazing to me how the wicked of this world are so eager? Notice it says they run to it. They desire to do these things. And that is nothing more than the influence and control of Satan over so many people. And yet Christians, I use that very loosely in quotations, are so eager to try to make excuses for these things, to try to excuse it away and say it's okay. God never said it's okay. Amen. And if God doesn't excuse it, why are we? We're not judges, I understand that. But we do know what the Bible says, or we should know what the Bible says. And so we need to teach our children adamantly to keep out of the world's ways. Do not follow in the path of the world. Concerning your friendships, make sure your children have godly friendships. Now, in church, are all Christian children at the same stage spiritual-wise? Not a bit. Do you have hooligans in churches? Now, a lot of people, they have no problem picking out the pastor's kids or the missionary's kid or the deacon's kid, but there's other kids that are just absolutely horrors and terrors, right? Do you want your child hanging around that child? Now, do we want to influence that bad child for good? Do we want them to come to know Christ as their Savior? We do. But we need to make sure if we allow our children to spend time with those children, that we're there. You say, why is that? Because I have found personally, I've seen it, experienced it. You're hoping that you're going to influence the bad child with your good child. Usually it's the opposite. Usually it's the opposite. And so let's don't submit our children to failure. Let's don't ensure they're going to fail. Let's make sure that we give them supervised friendship with those kind of people. Okay? And by the way, a child left unto himself bringeth his mother to what? All right, so let's just keep these things in mind. God is no fool. God has given us his word, everything that we need. And I hope that you will realize that and understand that. And so I praise the Lord for what he's doing and how he's trying to help us there. It goes on to say in verse 17, "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they that lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Is capital punishment still biblical? Did God ever do, because we live in the age of grace now, did God ever do away with capital punishment? Absolutely not. Should the death penalty still be instilled? You want to get off a jury duty system? They call you for jury duty. The quickest way to get out of it is, I believe the Bible. Okay? But also, try not to get out of it if you can, because we do need to make an impact on our country, and we do need to have a say. But if a man sheds man's blood, that man is to die. That's just all there is to it. God did not take that away. Should we witness to the murderer? Absolutely. Does God forgive murderers? Absolutely. Those that repent. Did he forgive David? Did David commit murder? Okay. And so just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. We want them to get saved. We want them to have forgiveness, but they need to learn consequences of sin. Our judicial system today, and I may get in trouble for this, is absolutely insane. Oh, just let them back out. They won't do it again. You're a fool. They have proven it time and time again. If you let them get away with it, they're going to do it again. If there's no consequences for wrong, what's the big deal? But we have a God that we stand before. So keep that in mind, if you will. If you will, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Most of you are familiar with this one. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm not going to cover everything in Proverbs. I hope that you will take the time to study Proverbs with your family, to study Proverbs with your children. Now, that's the whole thing about home devotions, having that altar in your home where you come together as a family, you read the Word of God, you discuss the Word of God, you pray together. Amen? So that's something we need to do. So I'm not going to teach you everything out of the book of Proverbs. It'd take too long. And you say, we are tired of the family, Brother Beck. Go to something else. But when we think about this is so, so important to our families, for the security of our families, the safety of our families, and for the well-being of our families. And if you're having problems in your home, I promise you the Bible will help you start to alleviate those problems. But you've got to include God in everything. Can you read the Bible without God? Absolutely. How many atheists have read the Bible? So you can read it without God, but boy, how much better is it when you invite God in, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You invite Him in and the Holy Spirit in, hey, please guide us and direct us as we read Your Word. And you allow your children to read the Word of God, and you hear the Word of God coming off your child's lips or out of your child's lips, and just hearing them and allowing, knowing that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is something we must instill, must keep fighting for. Our families are worth fighting for. Verse 1 of chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. What's wrong with our hearts, brothers and sisters? Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Oh, just trust your heart, the world says. Don't trust your heart. I can't trust my heart. You can't trust your heart. I've heard people say this ignorantly. I know my heart. No, you don't. There's only one that knows my heart, and that's God Almighty. So here, talking about the heart, issues of the heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Here again, separation. But when you think about understanding, how many of you, when you first got saved, you saw a verse, you thought you understood what it meant, and then as you got older and you kept studying the Word of God, you found out that verse wasn't anything near what you thought it meant. Okay, we got to be careful about it. That's why it's important that we don't just read the Bible once. That you continually read the Bible every day, yearly, year after year. Again, as you hear our pastor often say, we are Bible students. We are not Bible masters. Amen. We are still learning each and every day. There's still things that I'm learning, and I will never come to the point where I have learned it all. If there was ever one that I thought that might could have had the opportunity, that would be the Apostle Paul. And even he said he had not arrived. So we need to continue to allow the Word of God. But when you think about this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How many of you have trusted in others and been let down? Amen. People who you trust. People who you have high regard for. I will tell you right now from this pulpit, I will fail you at one point or another. I don't want to. It's not my desire, but it'll happen. Okay? And you're going to disappoint your kids. You're going to fail your kids. You're going to fail your wife. You're going to fail your husband. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Look what else it says. Lean not to thine own understanding. When we think about what's going on, even though it's a familiar verse, even Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, I've heard many people quote these, but do we really apply it? Do we really, really apply it? Lean not to thine own understanding. I've heard people say this. Well, I see it like this. Well, that's fine. That's your opinion. But what does it really say? What does it really mean? Line upon line, precept upon precept. We are to compare Scripture with Scripture. Not take a verse and run with it and make it say what we want. Because a lot of people have done that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How many of you love that verse? Where's it at? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. Did you know that comes with obedience unto Christ? It has to deal with the gospel as well, if you'll study it out. It has to deal with telling others about Christ and living for Christ. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ if I'm doing what he tells me to do and I'm obeying his word. Okay? But I can't have victory in sin without Christ. So just keep these things in mind. Trust not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. If you can't see God in the thing that you're doing, now there's times in our lives, listen to me, there are times in our lives we cannot see God. That doesn't mean that he's not there. When do we get to the point where we don't see God? When we quit following him. When we turn our head for just a moment. When did Peter begin to sink? Now he was walking on water, wasn't he? When did he begin to sink? When he took his eyes off the Lord. Now, when he looked at the wind, now the wind's blowing. He looks for the wind. How many of you have seen the wind? Now you've seen the effects of wind, but we haven't seen the wind. But he looks away, and then he starts to sink. And a lot of times, we start to think that God has left our presence. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And usually, when we don't see God, it's because we're not looking in the right direction. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lord, you allow this to come in my life. Help me to understand why. You know what I'm talking about? Situations arise you didn't want, would rather not have. Amen. But they come. Lord, help me to learn what I need to learn in this. Lord, help me to see you in this. Right now, I can't see you. Father, please reveal yourself to me. We need to teach our children that. We need to teach them that God's real. Now, I don't think we have any children in here. I'm completely against the Easter Bunny. I'm completely against Santa Claus. Amen. And I can get quite hateful with it, but I don't want to. But the thing is, you're telling them, early on, trust in this, trust in that. These people know if you're good or bad. That's kind of scary. And then they come to the knowledge, I hope they come to the knowledge, that those aren't real. But then we tell them to trust in Jesus who they cannot see. Okay? You want them to trust in Jesus who they cannot see. And by the way, as an adult, you won't see him physically with your eye. But thank God I can go somewhere and see him daily. But you're asking your kids, and by the way, you're lying to your kids when you tell them about these things. Brother Beck, it's fun. I'm going to get in trouble, I know. Brother Beck, it's fun. It's just for entertainment. Why are you allowing them to be fed a lie? Does God hate lying? I suggest you read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Does God hate lying? Is it a lie to tell them something exists when it doesn't? It's quiet. But why start with a lie? How many of you told a lie for whatever reason, it got revealed that it was a lie, and then you lost all trust? Or that person lost all trust for you, rather. And is trust easy to build back? Mm-mm. Well, if you lied to me about this, is that not the natural way that we look at things? Think about that. We need to teach our children this. Trust in the Lord. It goes on to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Did Pastor mention something about this recently? Fearing the Lord. And it says, depart from evil. Well, guess what? If you're not in evil, you don't have to depart from evil. But when you see evil, get away from it. Get away from it. I can handle this. No, you can't. Satan will chew you up and spit you out. If he doesn't engulf you completely. So be careful about these things. What about this? Proverbs chapter 2. You got your seatbelts on? Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Are we instruct our children about what kind of man or woman they are to look to? That they might have interest in? Speaking of marriage down the road? I hope you're ready, Mom and Dad. But it's amazing here. It gives us the example of these women. Okay, and not all women are bad. How many of you understand that? There should be a whole lot more amens going on now. All right, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16. Look what the Bible says. Addressing the children, of course, or addressing the family, addressing anyone that will listen, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Are there men that could fall into this category? Absolutely. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you are desiring. That strange woman refers to an adulterous woman, a harlot, a whore. Those are still biblical terms, right? Okay. I just want to make sure we're safe here. Those are still Bible terms. And there are still people in the world that meet these qualifications. And we are to teach our children to avoid them. Why am I not getting more amens? Now, I'm not doing this for amens. But do you realize Christianity has slipped so much that we are allowing all kinds of ungodliness to creep in and be accepted amongst the brethren? It ought not to be, brethren. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Are we okay? 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Do you think parents know more than children? Well, they should, right? How many of you have watched TV programs or movies, and boy, the parents are just stupid. And the kids have all the answers, if not the dog and the cat do. Right? Does not Hollywood portray parents as dumb? And kids as wise? Really? Would you want that kid piloting your plane as you're flying to another city? I don't think so. But we through experience, we through living through life and experiencing the things in life that come to us, we can gain wisdom, we can gain understanding. Of course, we need the Word of God. That is the source of wisdom and understanding, the Word of God. It says that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. How many of you like honey? Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? Honey and peanut butter mixed. Man, I tell you what. But here it says that the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. It appears sweet. It appears to have good flavor. It appeals to you, right? God doesn't want us to fall for it. God doesn't want our sons to follow for it. And by the way, ladies, if your daughters are listening to someone that fits this same description in the opposite, tell her to stay away. They know how to say what you want to hear. You're having problems at home in your marriage, and you go to work, and the opposite sex person knows exactly what to tell you, and they can sympathize with you, and they start to try to gain your trust, to try to ruin your life. And you start to think that that person cares more for you than your husband or your spouse, and then you start having thoughts. And then you start contemplating things. Well, this person listens to me. This person is so much better than my spouse. I think I love this person. You don't know what love means. You don't know what love means. Love is commitment. Love is suffering. Hello? It involves hardness. But love is sure. Not what the world calls love. I'm talking about biblical love. But the words of this person that are out hunting, and by the way, who are they hunting for? Yeah, they may be hunting for their own pride, but guess who they're really representing? They're representing Satan. And they are out to destroy you. And by the way, you shouldn't be sharing your problems with everybody at work. Can I just drop that real quick? You don't need to be discussing problems with your spouse, even with some church members. Hello? Hello. You ever heard of the wiggle jaws? Those that can't keep their mouth closed. And now, you don't tell anybody this. Don't tell anybody. If you don't want to get out, don't tell anybody. Okay? But don't tell anybody this, and they go and they tell somebody else. Don't tell anybody this. I told them I wasn't going to tell, but I'm telling you. Boy, aren't we ridiculous? We are absolutely ridiculous at times. But here it is. You're sharing things, and then here comes someone. They've got the right things to say. They know when to say it. And boy, it appeals to your flesh, and it appeals to your ego. And then you start getting false feelings and sensations that this might be the person that I should have married. By the way, when you said I do, that was the contract made before God. Hold to it. Keep it. Amen. That's good. Thank you. All right. Continuing on. But her end. See, we don't look at the end of a lot of things, do we? Do we really have enough patience to look at the end of things? Do we really want to wait and see, well, if I do this, if just stop for a minute and think, if I do this, what's the end going to be? Do you know I hardly do that? Now, Brother Beck, you're up here preaching, you're teaching. You're supposed to think about all this. I understand I'm supposed to. But a lot of times I don't. Hello? And I dare say you don't either. The divorce rate amongst Christians is somewhere around 60%. What God hath put together, let no man put asunder, right? Isn't that in the Bible? Marriage is temporary until you fall out of love, right? No. It's a lifetime contract. It's a lifetime contract. Now, we're not going to get into all that. And, you know, I feel bad for anyone that has gone through divorce and things of that nature. God's not through with you. But could you have avoided that heartache had we just sought God? Have we just obeyed God? But here it is. The end is bitter as wormwood. Do we read about wormwood somewhere else in the Bible? Revelation? Hello? Think about that. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, the Word of God is sharp as a two-edged sword. But so is this thing of falling into Satan's snares. Be careful, brethren. Be careful. Her feet go down to what? Death. Are you there with me? I'm in verse 5. Her feet go down to death. The wages of sin is, just kind of relate these things, if you will. Her steps take hold on. Oh, but when you first start having interest, when you start looking at it and you contemplate, oh, this is heaven. Oh, this is paradise. Oh, I'm just on cloud 9. I have never seen cloud 9 or any other number cloud. Okay? But here it is. When you don't seek God, when you don't follow what he'd have you to do, the end is bitter as wormwood. The end will go down to the depths of hell. You think about that. God's word is not going to change for our situation. God's word will not change because something happened that we couldn't control. By the way, we can control a whole lot more than what we think we can. Verse 15. Are we okay this morning? I'm not trying to put a downer or, you know, quash the emotions of today of celebrating our pastor's 50th anniversary here, but we still need to do the Word of God. This is still important for training. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice, men, rejoice, gentlemen, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. How many of you have wives that no longer look like they used to look like? And yes, this goes the opposite way for men too. Me and my wife were in the military when we met. We were both in excellent shape. As I've said before, now I'm in a different shape. But you are going to change with the years. My hairline used to be a whole lot more forward, right? So we think about these things. You're going to change, but if you're not careful, you're going to start saying, well, I didn't marry this old person. Why, this old person used to do things. Well, we had more energy when we were younger, didn't we? But life takes its toll. Life takes its process. But it doesn't mean look for a younger one. Hello. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Do you see that? Amen. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Whose love? Your wife's love. Not some harlot, not some whore. Okay. By the way, you think about the other terms that I just used, usually they do what they do for money or for personal gain. If you have a wife that has stuck with you, you ought to praise God. You ought to praise God. Y'all think you know me. My wife knows me, and she still puts up with me. Amen? Now, God's the only one that really knows me, and he still puts up with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. But listen, marriage is still a sacred thing. We need to teach our children that. How many children are being raised today with stepmom or stepdad number two, number three, number four? Amen. I want you to think about it. Now, you call me daddy, even though you're not the daddy, or you call me mama. I've seen it. I'm experiencing it. I don't like it. And by the way, if we just stick with what God says, we wouldn't have all these problems. Teach your children the importance of faithfulness. Ravish always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Think about that. You know what a dying art is in our lives today? Thinking. Meditating on the Word of God. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his, what? Notice it says you will be holden with the cords of your sins. Do you know sin has attachments? Hello? Now, in our technology world today, you get emails, they have attachments. You get messages on your phone, they have attachments, right? Majority of them are what? Spam. Something that will either take all your finances or something that will kill your computer or your phone. Well, our sin has cords attached to it. And we need to realize that. Let's don't get caught in these cords. By the way, it's called the internet. Yes or no? Do you notice the word net in there? Now, nets are good for catching fish, but is it good for the fish? Okay. Just think about it. We can get trapped in these things. Sins have cords. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Now, I'm going to try to rush through the next ones. Chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm only about halfway through the lesson that I planned on teaching today, but that's okay. As I said, I'm in no hurry. Chapter 6, verse 24, are you there? It's talking about the commandment is a lamp and the law is light in the preceding verse. It says, to keep thee from the evil woman. Now, are all women evil? No, this is not what the Bible's teaching, but there are evil women just as there are evil men. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. We kind of read about that in chapter 3, did we not? Chapter 3. So here we are. Lust not after her beauty in thine... See where it starts? Starts in the heart. The heart is desperately wicked. What can cure the heart of its wickedness? Jesus Christ. What can cure the heart of its wickedness? Applying the Word of God, hiding the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against him. Keep this in mind, if you will. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You ever seen that? Women flashing their eyelids? They used to show it a lot on TV shows and stuff like that, and you knew what it was. But here, there are those out there to trap you. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And I don't think anyone or at least most people, have not done this thinking, I'm trying to destroy someone. They're thinking they're building a better life. They think they're getting a new life, a new chance. Notice what the Bible says. They hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? This is talking about if you give in and you commit adultery, you are playing with fire, as we like to say. But fire burns, does it not? You can't do it without causing harm. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Well, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. That doesn't work with God. Hello? Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Boy, you think divorce costs people stuff? All that hard work lost because of a few moments of pleasure, a few moments of sin? We don't think about the end, though, do we? Think about it. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Notice it did not say the sin. It said the reproach. Can you have forgiveness for adultery? Ask David. Can you? Absolutely. Wait a minute, who's writing this thing? Well, this is God's word, but did he not use Solomon to pen these words of wisdom? What did Solomon do? He fell, did he not? For women. Hello? He worshiped false gods because of the women that he fell in love with, or supposedly fell in love with. Just think about that. That reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. And I'm going to have to stop here today. There's more in chapter 7, in verses 5 through the end of the chapter. I'd encourage you to read that. Notice how many things that we've read in different chapters of Proverbs now concerning adultery, concerning stepping out of the bonds of marriage. We need to prepare our children for that. I'd like to see the divorce rate amongst Christians disappear. Amen? But it's going to take obedience to the Word of God. It's going to take teaching children what God expects of them. So we're going to have to stop here, and we'll pick up next week on some more that I wanted to share with you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, thank you for being here. And let's ask the Lord to give us a glorious service this morning as we honor God first and we honor our pastor and celebrate this great milestone in his life. God didn't just choose any man. He gave us Pastor Lawson. And we need to realize what a gift of God he is. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. We thank you for your love and mercy. And Father, help us not to get our pride in the way of what we've heard this morning. Help us not to get our feelings hurt. But Father, help us to look at your word as it is, a help and a protector of our lives and our children's lives. And Father, may we embrace your word. Father, may we apply it and help our children to know what you say so they can avoid so many problems in their lives. Father, I pray for our families once again. Lord, put a hedge of protection around each and every family represented here today. May you receive honor and glory by all things that are done. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.